This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And the music in the background is the Disintegration Loops number 4 by William Baczynski. This is a 40-minute track which might emerge throughout the programme. Seems apposite, disintegration, and as it goes on, it sort of starts to break up. But before we completely break up and disintegrate, a notice about a film by Sandra Cross, which is showing this evening, Limbo. A film by Sandra Cross, artist and writer Sandra Cross introduces a screening of Limbo, a lament on loss in which a landscape haunts as intense as opium. That's a quote from Stefan Mallarmé. 10 years of writing about and visiting her mother, who had probable Alzheimer's, resulted in a 2,000-page journal and a 4-day reading. In this hybrid film journal, we hear Sandra's voice overlay the weekly train journey from London to Leicester, which is startlingly coincidental given the nature of the rest of my programme, as she reads the first extract, written in 2006. The recordings were made in public spaces, symbiotic with the original writing on the repeated train journey. And the words blend with accompanying mechanical sounds and announcements, piano playing at St Pancras Station, whistles and slamming doors. The complete Limbo recordings are available to listen to at the British Library. So the film is an hour long and it screens tonight at the Knowledge Centre, the British Library, 96 Euston Road, London NW12DB. So that's Friday night, Friday the 8th of November. Starts at 7:15 and continues until 8:45. It's a free event, but a booking is advisable because if they get a sudden influx of bookings, they will move it to a larger space. But otherwise, it's free entry. You don't need, the booking is just for their guidelines. Okay, so that's a Limbo, a film by Sandra Cross, the Knowledge Centre, the British Library. That's 7:15 tonight. So back to my disintegrating programme. Which is a relaunch of sorts of my recently published book, Perfect Binding, which launched for the first time at Tate Modern last week. A slightly strange event, as befits a slightly strange book. I was taken to task at the end of last week's launch for using the word narcissism. I was advised to use the word pride instead. Pride comes before a fall, as they say, and pride in one's appearance or what one did predates the 1960s. Clinical narcissism is an illness. This week allows me time to place some of the records that were left out last week, and also the film clip for Franjus, that's Georges Franjus' Head Against the Wall, 1959 film, which influenced me personally far more than Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. Not set in Nottingham, of course, but then again, not many films were. The poetic spirit of Franjus had more resonance with me than the gritty realism of Tony Richardson or the aggression of Albert Finney. So I will be dipping into my book, Perfect Binding, the book itself, many thanks to Dan Wilson, who designed the book. But more about the book later. Perhaps there is a gallery of characters and the sort of drift of, like Perfect Binding, there has been some falling apart. And the sort of drift of the programme will be tracks that could conceivably have been chosen by some of the people in the book that were left out of last week's programme, and many of whom have died. And so I'm making a colossal assumption that I can guess what they might have chosen to play were they still around. But before that, I'm going to start with a clip. This is from Head Against the Wall by Franjus, and this was a sort of a trailer for that film.
Si je passe la grille, démarre immédiatement. Je peux compter sur vous.
Oui.
Fugueur. Et vous vous êtes débrouillé.
Vous parlez comme si vous vouliez fuir. Vous vous êtes pas évadé.
Lorsqu'elle est morte. Je ne pouvais plus vivre avec lui. Il ne m'a jamais parlé comme ça.
Alors, on ne vous a jamais aimé?
Vous pourriez le monde en criminel. Mieux que ça, vous êtes vous-même un criminel par procuration.
C'est en quoi nous différons. Vous n'avez pas besoin d'intermédiaire.
Yes, that was La Tête contre les Murs, which was the first film in which Anouk Aimée appeared. And it's only just occurred to me, again, another synchronicity there. Anouk Aimée actually was married to Albert Finney, who was the star of Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. I've only just noticed the connection there. But to get the book, a book is partly my jaundiced view in counterpoint to the Nostalgia Fest, the trip down memory lane, as demonstrated in the recent Mods Shaping a Generation exhibition at Leicester Museum, and in various publications which kind of celebrate mods. But that's not all that it's about. It's called Perfect Binding for a variety of reasons, and it is refers to a method of bookbinding, which the name Perfect Binding was applied to books that were held together at the spine by glue only, with no stitching. And the pages were literally part company with the spine, and single pages or sometimes whole sections would come away. The book might look perfect when new, or if not used. These problems have been solved more recently, but it's generally considered to be an inferior method of constructing a book. So the present book is called Perfect Binding, ironically, referring to something at odds with reality. The title also seemed pertinent for more than one reason. It refers obliquely to clothing, the idea of binding or stitching and holding clothes together, combined with the word perfect, implying stylistic perfection. Perfect binding also pertains to the ties that bind, which when I checked out the origin of that phrase, it apparently derives from the basic text of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. Okay, so originally there was an accumulation of material, interviews with people. It centres around Leicester. In fact, the subheading of the book is Perfect Binding Made in Leicester, by myself, with art direction by Daniel Wilson. And one of the first characters in the book is someone called Chelsea Jim Mellors, who was Leicester's sort of, well, as far as I know, he was Leicester's only surrealist artist, who was practicing in the 60s. And he was covered in the Leicester Illustrated Chronicle in 1965 under the heading Cellar of Staring Eyes. And it starts, Jim Mellors looks more than a little satanic when surrounded by his mysterious paintings with their dark, brooding colours. His spectacles glint in the candlelight of the Cauldron, a popular cellar rendezvous of the Hind Hotel, Leicester. I didn't really know. I met Jim briefly at the time. He changed sex later in life and became Victoria Ashley, and died earlier this year. I have no idea what his taste in music was, but I'm going to play this track because it coincides with many things. Kirby Muxlow, where I lived and where Jim Mellors moved to. And also, of course, it relates to trains. As I was mentioning earlier, Limbo is to do with the train journey between Leicester and London. And it's also to do with the station was closed down. And this track is called The Slow Train by Flanders and Swan.
On the slow train. Millersdale for Tideswell. Kirby Muxlow. Malcop and Scholar Green. No more will I go to Blandford Forum and Mortyhoe. On the slow train from Midsummer Norton and Mumby Road. No churns, no porter, no cat on a seat at Chawton cum Harney or Chester le Street. We won't be meeting again on the slow train. I'll travel no more from Littleton Bansey to Openshaw. At Long Saturn I'll stand well clear of the doors no more.
cat wash pebbles, no up and no down. From Formifor crosses to Dunstable town, I won't be going again on the slow train. On the main line and the good siding, the grass grows high at Dog Dyke, Tumby Woodside, and Trouble House Halt. The sleeper sleep at Audlem and Ambergate. No passenger waits on Chitling platform or Chesley Hay. No one departs, no one arrives. From Selby to Goole, from St. Earth to St. Ives, they've all passed out of our lives on the slow train. On the slow train. Cockermouth for Buttermere.
On the slow train.
Armley Moor, Adam. High Hill and Summer Coats.
On the slow train.
Windmill End.
The Slow Train by Flanders and Swan, which basically catalogues the list of stations that were closed down by Dr. Beeching. In fact, the closest station to Kirby Muxloe is mentioned at the beginning, surely the only record ever produced that mentions Kirby Muxloe. And we moved from Kirby Muxloe to another village called Tugby, which was on the other side of Leicestershire. And that had a station at East Norton. And I made a mistake of mentioning in the book that East Norton station was closed by Dr. Beeching, but in fact it closed before Dr. Beeching decided to close all those stations. Probably now considered a big mistake, as the trains would be very useful these days. But the other connection is with Brian Troth. He's chapter 4 in this book, Perfect Binding. Brian Troth, known at the time as the Dandy Deceiver, and he edited a sort of countercultural journal in Leicester in the late 1950s. And Troth had been a member of the Magic Circle, and I met up with him for the first time about a year ago. But Troth had lived in Stonygate, close to my birthplace and the flat occupied by my parents in Stonygate Court before they moved to Kirby Muxloe. Troth's family had also moved to Kirby Muxloe, a synchronicity that surprised us both. And from the editorial at the time, this is from 1959, many unfair charges have been levied against this city of Leicester. Not the least of which have been frequent indictments of a cultural insufficiency. The truth of the matter is that those who have alleged so much have chosen to look only amidst the perspiration, crying plants of the local coffee bars and into the dark, ghoul-filled caverns of our horror film cinemas. The Crescent ran to 3 issues before expiring. Then, further on in the book, we have references to the dead centre of Leicester. That was from the Leicester Topic in 1964. Quotes from Lady Albemarle's Boys by Ray Gosling. This was a Young Fabian publication published in 1961. And there's a quote there from the Leicester Evening Mail, published in 1961. In Leicester for a few days is 22-year-old Ray Gosling, who caused a national rumpus with his Fabian Society booklet on the morals and behaviour of teenagers, paying particular attention to the Leicester Youth Venture. Ray, who now lives in Nottingham but is often seen about Leicester, is a friend of Colin Wilson, but does not share his view of Leicester as that hell of littleness. Speaking of coffee bars, as the editor was, the most noted coffee bar in Leicester at the time was called the Chameleon. The Chameleon Coffee Bar, which was situated on the bottom of New Walk, which leads up to the New Walk Museum. And this was run by Peter Josephs, who ran it for 8 years. In fact, it was it closed down after he'd had enough, after being threatened by National Front people who came into the cafe and threatened him. But the Chameleon was a real haven for people. I don't know, what can we call it? Artistic types, shall we say? People that were drawn towards jazz and coffee and modern art. So there is a section on the Chameleon in the book, and at the time he probably would have played John Coltrane, Miles Davis and things like that, but Pete Josephs actually had a striking resemblance to Jacques Lussier or even Manfred Mann, you know, with one of those little, those sort of narrow beards, quite short hair, narrow beards and a sort of chunky sweater. So I'm going to play some Jacques Lussier. This is from Play Bach No. 1, recorded in 1959.
Thank you.
That was Jacques Lussier from 1959, a kind of music that might possibly have been played in the Chameleon Coffee Bar in Leicester in the early 60s. And Jacques Lussier reminds me of Pete Joseph's and Manfred Mann with the thin beard, sort of synonymous with beatniks at the time, perhaps. So, moving on to the book, other people featured in the book are both of my parents, in fact. My father, who was who had a whole string of what should we say, idiosyncratic sayings. I'm sure lots of other people of that generation probably use some of these sayings, but I was remembering, I've made a list of most of the sayings that I could think of, that I could remember that he used at the time. And here are some of them. As dim as a Toc H lamp, which was a way of describing somebody who he considered lacked common sense, shall we say. A photograph of Lord Roberts. It's hanging on a nail under the sink in Nellie's room. The Bosch. She's no thing of beauty, piped down. Shanks's pony, one more snifter and then I'll hit the hay. You perishers can make your own arrangements. He's probably as happy as a sandboy on seeing a tramp at the side of the road. He just stands there like a stuffed owl. Give me a dinghy on the Norfolk Broads any day. Good Lord, is that the time? How's the enemy? The whole jolly lot and no messing. I'm sick to the back teeth of the whole shooting match. I might as well take paraquat. That was a kind of rat poison, apparently. Your mother and I will end up in straitjackets. There's a good chap, Crippen, for the love of Mike, for Pete's sake, bloody claptrap. I'd ask your brother, but it's like talking to a brick wall. Be a pal, I'm fighting the clock. Is John right in the head? And so on. And there were literally dozens and dozens of these sayings, which I haven't heard anyone else use, apart from the obvious ones, like good God, Lord Almighty. And good grief, of course. But okay, so this next track is the sort. Definitely, I can say without hesitation that this is something that my father would have listened to and probably would have chosen. This, of course, is Rachmaninoff, sort of music he would have listened to whilst filling a tumbler of ice with whiskey before retiring at the end of the night. Thank you. Yeah, that's Rachmaninoff Prelude, Opus 23, number 5. Rachmaninoff was a great favourite of my father. And Dad once told me that he had studied briefly at the Leeds Music School, and he played snatches on the piano, but never for longer than a minute. He loathed Russ Conway, would play the opening bars of Grieg or Rachmaninoff, but always stopped short, as though his hands weren't quite doing what he wanted them to. As though he had cramp, but that didn't seem to be it. Saturday night, after a few drinks, he would put Rachmaninoff on the record player and turn the volume up. This was in a pub, of course, which I perhaps didn't mention, but anyway, we lived in a pub, and the upright piano, which had once stood in the public bar, was now consigned to a stable where it became damp and beyond restoration. Eventually, Dad demolished it with a sledgehammer, doused it in petrol, and set fire to it at the far end of the car park. Mrs. Doughty, our cleaning lady, looked on aghast with a rarely voiced opinion. What a waste. Some people would love to own a piano. Flanders and Swan, who mentioned Kirby Muxloe, surely the only record that could possibly have mentioned Kirby Muxloe in the lyrics. And now this one is sort of in memory of my mother, really. I'm sort of choosing this. I associate this song with my mother. I don't really know if she would have chosen it for herself. She had quite a quirky taste in music, sort of things that reminded her of Holland, being Dutch. There was that balmy record by Max Bygraves, something about a mouse in a windmill or something, and things like that. Kenny, but very sentimental. And so I've chosen again the only record I know, where the words are in Dutch and English. There might be other records, but this is certainly the only one I can think of. This is by Katarina Valente, and it's called "Sweetheart, My Darling, Mijn Schat." Being in Dutch and English.
Sweetheart, my darling main spot. Wow, that ik jou bij me had. Ik dracht naar je. Darling main spot. Eens heb je mij lief gehad. Toen waren wij beiden gelukkig en blij. Sweetheart, kom toch weer bij mij. come talk a bit of
baby. Well, Baczynski is still disintegrating in the background. That was a track sort of relating to my mother, associated with my mother, who was Dutch. And she features images of her feature in this book, Perfect Binding, Made in Leicester, by William English, published just recently, published by William English Editions, strangely. And yes, it's an edition of 300 copies, available for £20 via ABE Books. That's the Advanced Book Exchange. And today I'm sort of playing tracks which are associated with characters in the book, which brings me to someone at the end, John Cramphorn. John stood at the bar of the Black Horse in Tugby, forehead twitching, lips pursed. He was wearing a loose white boiler suit with the word Firestone stitched in red across the back, which he'd bought from Paradise Garage in London. Salmon pink mock crocodile and suede slip-on shoes with a thick crepe sole from Zapata, modelled on the more conservative brown suede Playboy shoes that could be bought from Knights on Granby Street in Leicester. Wearing eye makeup and carrying a turquoise cotton bag with a fish design. He stood next to a local farm labourer in the Black Horse Tugby and ordered a Prince Rupert, some kind of brandy cocktail, I think. So, for John, what did I choose for John? Well, he was a big fan of Scott Walker, and I could have chosen Montague Terrace in Blue, but instead I've picked a Jacques Brel track. Jacques Brel, of course, was a big influence on Scott Walker. And this is a film clip of Jacques Brel singing Amsterdam in Paris in 1964, and it is the most extraordinary performance. I would urge you to have a look at this, Jacques Brel performing in Paris 1964. You can see it on YouTube, and it's shot in black and white, and it is a great little performance. At the end, he just sort of swings round. It's hard to tell if he's knocking the microphone over or if he just sort of disappears into the blackness behind him.
Voor Amsterdam, jullie mannen zond, jullie rêven, jullie hond, hoe large Amsterdam. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, y a les marins qui dorment comme des oriflammes le long des berges mornes. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, y a des marins qui meurent pleins de bière et de drames aux premières lueurs. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui naissent dans la chaleur épaisse des longueurs océanes. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui mangent sur des nappes trop blanches des poissons ruisselants. Ils vous montrent des dents à croquer la fortune, à décroasser la lune, à pousser des haubans. Et ça sent la morue jusque dans le cœur des frites, dans leurs grosses mains dites à revenir en plus. Puis se lèvent en riant dans un bruit de tempête, referment leurs braguettes et sortent en rotant. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marais qui dansent en se frottant à la panse. Sur la panse, les femmes, et ils tournent et ils dansent comme des soleils crachés dans le son déchiré d'un accordéon rance. Ils se tendent le cou pour mieux s'entendre rire jusqu'à ce que, tout à coup, l'accordéon expire. Alors, le geste grave, alors leur regard fier, ils ramènent leur patave jusqu'en pleine lumière. Dans le port de l'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui boivent, et qui boivent et reboivent, et qui reboivent encore. Ils boivent de la santé des putains d'Amsterdam, d'Hambourg et d'ailleurs enfin. Ils boivent aux dames qui leur donnent leur joli corps, qui leur donnent leur vertu pour une pièce en or. Et quand ils ont bien bu, se plantent le nez au ciel, se mouchent dans les étoiles et pissent comme je pleure sur les femmes infidèles dans le port d'Amsterdam, dans le port d'Amsterdam.
Yes, Jacques Brel. Performing in Paris in 1964, a very spirited performance. And moving on now to towards the end of the book, in fact. And do we still have Baczynski? Is Baczynski still disintegrating? Yeah, there he is. So this next track is certainly a unique item, possibly not great musically, by Orrin Anderson. And Orrin Anderson was studying English literature at Leicester University. He arrived one day at my parents' quiet thatched pub wearing army fatigues and driving a gold Renault Floride, quite rare then and almost unobtainable now. He hailed from South Carolina and had been in the American forces, which allowed him to take my brother and me onto a US Air Force base in Alconbury, Cambridgeshire. And this strange experience was like visiting the USA without actually leaving England. Once inside the outer perimeter, one was surrounded by Americana of all sorts, aeroplanes, cars, uniforms, lots of actual Americans, all speaking fluent American. And a PX shop where we stocked up on alien food such as hominy grits and Mexican TV dinners, which we took back to the village pub. Later I acquired a wooden Bal-Ami jukebox that had been thrown out of a Leicester pub and got it working in the kitchen, my father refusing to have it in the old world pub as he couldn't get Rachmaninoff on a 45 RPM single. Orrin played the guitar and had had a demo single cut in the States, which he contributed to my jukebox with the proviso that I would return it to him one day. So the single that he gave me is on the Richland Custom recording label, 2515 Divine Street, Columbia, South Carolina. And he signed the record to Will for the jukebox, Orrin. Both tracks are written by Orrin. Side one is called Adam, and side two, Misty Gardens. And as I say in the book, neither track was going to launch Orrin into stardom. But his live rendition in the pub one Sunday lunchtime of Fire and Rain was memorable. So anyway, this is Misty Gardens by Orrin on this, I don't know, it's possibly the only record in existence of this, but anyway, we'll play it, let's see what happens.
Ah, 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 there stands my one true love, she waits for only me. Holds my love through all eternity. Through the years I've learned to love just the touch of her soft hand, through the laughter and the tears She's there to understand. Lilacs blooming around us, lark song floating on the air, laughter and golden sunshine, and our hearts without a care. Then on a summer's day, from the ripples on a stream, came a mist that stole away all of my dream. Through the mist I saw her there, a statue made of stone, a goddess who still held my love, though I was all alone. Softly a gentle wind came, blowing the mist away. Laughter and golden sunshine returned to stay. There stands my one true love. She waits for only me. In her heart she holds my love through all eternity.
Well, as I said, Oren wasn't sort of destined for stardom with that particular record. His rendition of Fire and Rain by James Taylor was particularly memorable one Sunday lunchtime in a Leicester pub. So that's on a sort of demo disc. And we can now perhaps play, there's still time to play something from The Hungry Eye, the Hungry Eye jazz scene, the Monk Brothers Quintet, who the Hungry Eye was a sort of was a pancake house actually in Leicester, and hosted a jazz band which featured the Monk Brothers, and Sonny Monk actually owned the Hungry Eye, which later became the Good Earth restaurant, vegetarian restaurant. As far as I know, it was the it was inspired by Cranks in London, and still exists today on Free Lane, Leicester, serving virtually the same cuisine as it did in the 1960s, and the decor of ancient agricultural implements has hardly changed either. Nut rissoles are still a stalwart. And both the Hungry Eye and the Good Earth were significant eating houses in Leicester, presenting unusual food for the first time. It was sort of, I suppose it was dinner jazz, what might have been called dinner jazz at the time. And this, there is one track on this, and again, is one of these sort of home-produced, it was produced by, actually, Hungry Eye Records, 19 Free Lane, Leicester, so they must have issued it themselves. And it features someone called, actually features Maurice Coleman on guitar, who was also one of the musicians who played at the Chameleon, which I've just noticed. So this is Everybody Knows the Hungry Eye from the Monk Brothers Quintet.
Thank you.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's program featured sort of music tracks associated with the characters in my recently published book, Perfect Binding, Made in Leicester. This track is by the Monk Brothers, and from the notes it says, the Monk Brothers have been resident at their own restaurant, the Hungry Eye Pancake House, on Friday nights since March 1962. And this is the first LP of the Monk Brothers Quintet and was recorded in Leicester in June 1970. The record sleeve was designed by Neville Chadwick Creative Photography. Well, that's it. That's Wavelength for another week. We'll be returning from Leicester and we'll play out with Baczynski, who's still sort of disintegrating quietly in the background. Thank you for listening.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.